for strength, O God. And I pray that you speak through me as you always do. Lord, we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I just want to share one or two things in line with our word for the year. Can you turn your Bibles with me to the book of Daniel chapter 11? Daniel chapter 11. Daniel 11:32. I'll be reading the B part of that scripture. Daniel 11:32. Are we there? The Bible says, "But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." It says the people who know their God, they shall be strong and carry out great exploits. I want you to help me ask the person seated next to you. Ask them, do you know your God? Do you know? No, so ask like you mean it. So ask the other person on the other side, that do you know your God? It says those that know their God shall be strong and they shall carry out great exploits. Our supporting text is taken from the book of Isaiah chapter 8, verse 18. It says, "Here am I and the children whom the Lord has given me. We are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, who dwells in Mount Zion." This morning, I just want to talk to you, if you permit me, for a short time about the profile of a supernatural achiever. I think it's very imperative that we study or look at the profile of a supernatural achiever, because if you were at the watch night service, I declare that for those that were not there, I want you to understand or to be aware that it was laid in my spirit by the Lord, I believe, that this year, 2009, is a year of supernatural exploits. Amen. Amen. And at the night vigil, I explained, I spent some time explaining that the people that will do great exploits are those that know God. I explained or tried to explain what it means to know God. Knowing God is not just about coming to church. Knowing God is not just about reading your Bible. Knowing God is knowing the God that you serve. I explained that Moses, that's in the book of Exodus chapter 2, you know, he did not know God when initially. But by Exodus chapter 3, when God appeared to him in a burning bush, he got to know God in a way he had never done. So until you sometimes go through a challenge, you don't know God in certain areas of your life. So when you lack, you begin to know God as your provider, your Jehovah Jireh. And I explained that Moses, when he got to know God, his knowledge of God enabled him to be strong in the midst of challenges that he faced. His knowledge of God enabled him to be strong even when Pharaoh said no, to continuing going back to God. And as long as Pharaoh said no, he went back to God and knew God some more. In fact, the Bible tells us in the book of Exodus chapter 3, verses 2 to 3, chapter 6, I beg your pardon, verses 2 and 3. It says that God told Moses, said that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knew him by the name Almighty, but I am the Lord. I will reveal myself as the Lord to you. So he knew God in a way that others did not know God. Amen? And I think that's very key, because if you do not know God, you cannot be strong in the midst of adversity, in the midst of challenges. I went on to explain at the Watch Night service that the supernatural is basically our natural abilities, our skills, that have the breath of God upon it. Get this, the rod of Moses, he carried it around as a shepherd for so many years. But he did not know the power and the potential upon that rod. But when the breath of God came upon that rod, what happened? That rod became a supernatural rod. You see, I explained that for the natural person, for those that don't know God, it's very easy to miss the supernatural move of God in your life. A lot of people look for the spectacular. A lot of people look for the spectacular, the falling down, or the anointing, or, you know, all those sorts of things. But God moves in a supernatural way which does not necessarily come in the spectacular. And I explained that a lot of people would miss or can miss the supernatural move of God. I went on to explain that Elijah, when he was on the rock, and God told him to stand on the rock. And what happened? The earthquake came. Oh, sorry, the wind, first of all, came. God was not in it. The earthquake came. God was not in it. The fire came. God was not in it. But God was in the still, small voice. Get this. There are certain things that you hear, still, small voices, that God will speak to you that will cause you to be supernaturally anointed. That when you do the things God tells you in that still, small voice, you will become a supernatural achiever. Amen?
Amen.
The word supernatural is made up of two words, which is super and natural. Super means to be of a superior quality or of the highest degree of power. So when you combine the two words, it means to be above or superior to the natural, abilities that we have. It means to be to go beyond our natural abilities. Now, I'm trying to lay the background because I just want to talk to you about the profile of supernatural achiever this morning. You see, if we are to experience supernatural expert this year, we need to know what a supernatural achiever looks like so that we can try to mirror that in our lives. Amen? Time will not permit me to do a roll call this morning of the Bible people that are supernatural achievers, but I do intend, because I realize I won't be able to talk about all the profiles, so this is probably just part one of it. But this morning, I just want to look at a certain gentleman called David, who, in my own books, I believe is a supernatural achiever during the time that he lived. You know, David is an interesting person. He became a supernatural achiever at a young age. The Bible makes us to understand that he was the eighth son of Jesse. And it's interesting because God bypassed seven people to make him king. God bypassed Eliab and all his other brothers and said, no, not this, not this, not this, not this. No, number eight, you are the one. Why? Because David was chosen to become a supernatural achiever. Am I speaking to somebody? I pray that God will bypass people to choose you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I pray that this year, God will bypass others that are before you because he has his eyes upon you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You see, at an early age, David faced a lot of opposition and attacks. But he remained strong in spite of all those attacks. You know, the Bible says that those that know their God, they will be strong. He remained strong in the face of the attacks. And he was able to do great exploits. I look at the life of David, and I find it quite amazing because David was anointed at the age of 17. And he was anointed as the king. He knew he would be king from the age of 17. But it's interesting because David refused to help himself to the throne until it was God's timing for him. He refused to compromise or bypass certain processes. And you can be certain that the process he went through was painful. I mean, running around all over the nation away from a madman. At one stage, he had to behave like a madman so that they wouldn't kill him himself. And he went through a challenging process, but he did not compromise all that while. Am I speaking to somebody? And you need to get this. Because you can be anointed, but there's a process you need to go through. You can be anointed and chosen to sit or occupy a position, But with that, usually comes some certain levels of pain or challenges that you need to go through. And you find out that the process and those the pain is meant to bring out certain things in your life. But let me just go straight and start talking about the, because I don't have too much time. We still have a couple of things to do this morning. Thank you. Let me just start talking about some of the things we can learn from the life of David. The first thing that I think is very key about David, which I believe if you would become a supernatural achiever, you need to actually inculcate it into your life, is the fact that David loved God. David loved God, and you find out that he wanted to be in God's presence all the time. You know, we read one of the Psalms earlier. Was it Psalm? No, it wasn't Psalm. It was 1 Chronicles 29. But David is a gentleman that wrote quite a number of Psalms in the Bible. And you find out that in the book of Acts chapter 13, verse 22, the Bible says something. It says that he raised up for himself David as king, to whom also he gave testimony. And he said, this is God, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. Let's turn there, because I think it's very key. Acts chapter 13, verse 22. Are you there? Are you there? It says in the book of Acts 13:22. It says, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. Get this. When you say somebody is after your heart, it signifies love. And for God to have said that David was a man after the heart of God, then it makes me to understand that David must have done certain things or really worshiped God or done certain things that caused God to have said that this man really wants my heart. And get this, he didn't say that just a man after my heart. He said something. He said, who will do all my will? You see, for God to have described David as a man after his heart, it means that David did say, we know one thing, that David was a worshiper. He was a worshiper. Even in the midst when he made mistakes. I mean, the truth of the matter, David made certain mistakes. In fact, the atrocities he committed, if you compare it to some other things in the Bible that some other people committed, you think that this David was, I mean, he went far. He pushed the limits. You know, sometimes you push the limits, you go as far as you can go. He pushed certain limits. But one thing he always did is that he always went back to God, worshiped God. And in spite of all those atrocities, for God to accept that David is a man after my own heart, it makes me to wonder that there's something we need to learn from there. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? Listen to me. Before you can become a supernatural achiever, before you can, you see, the word supernatural, like I said, is God's breath upon your own natural abilities. Now, the only way God can breathe upon it is when God is pleased with you. And he said something. He said that David would do all his will, which means that David's desire was to do the will of God. Now, in order to experience supernatural exploits, you must love God. Let me qualify this. You see, I know we all love God. That's why we come to church and things. But love that is not demonstrated is not true love. For married couples, you can tell your wife so many times, I love you, I love you, I love you. But there's something she wants to see. Action. Help me with certain things. Buy me this. Think of me, bring home flowers, write cards. The action. Is that right? I think some men should get a cue from this. You know, when he says David loved God, it means that he worshiped God. He spent time in God's presence. He wanted to be with God all the time. Now, you can say you love God, but if that action is not commensurate with your what you're saying, then you can say it as much as you want, but what God wants is the action. Am I making sense? You see, your love for God will make you want to spend time in his presence. And get this, as you spend time in God's presence, you become a carrier of his presence. As you spend time in God's presence, you become a carrier of his anointing. And as you become a carrier of God's presence and his anointing, that would enable you to do things that are supernatural. You know, Moses said something in the book of Exodus 33. He said that, Lord, we will not go unless your presence goes with us. Now, he realized the importance of being a carrier of God's presence in order for them to achieve the things that God wanted them to do. So the first thing is that David loved God. So if you want to be a supernatural achiever this year, to do supernatural exploits, like I said, your love for God must be one that is demonstrated. Now, not demonstrated to me, not demonstrated to man or your wife, or it must be demonstrated to God. Am I making sense? Good. The second profile that's, and what I'm sharing, very, very simple message. You probably know it all. The second thing is that David feared God. You know, you can love somebody and not fear them. But David had a reverence for God. He not only loved God, but he feared him. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 24, turn with me there quickly. 1 Samuel 24, verse 5. Let me read from verse 4. Now, let me set the context. Saul had been chasing David all around, trying to kill him. Now, David now had the opportunity to kill Saul. It says, then the men of David said to him, this is the day of which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you. And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul, and got up from the cave and went on his way. You know, this is quite interesting because if you think of it, David had an opportunity, David had an opportunity to kill Saul. Saul had been chasing David all over the place. Saul was looking for an opportunity to kill David. Now, think of it. The human, a normal human, self is that if somebody is trying to do you harm, the opportunity you get to do them harm, you finish them before they finish you. Is that right? Yes. Or is there anyone here that would lay a bed for their enemies to sleep upon? Now, get this. He had the opportunity to kill Saul, but he refused to kill Saul. Now, one of the things you need to realize is that his refusal to kill Saul, or the fact that he spared Saul, was not because of Saul. There's a key there. He said, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. He had an understanding that God had put this man in this position. Even though he wanted to do me harm, there is no way I would do him harm back because I fear God. Are you getting something this morning? His only reason for sparing Saul is that Saul was anointed by God. And it can only be the fear of God that prevented him from killing Saul. You know, it is possible to love God, but not to fear him. What do I mean by that? You know, it's interesting because I've heard of, not in this church, you know, I've heard of people that are great worshippers, you know, in the choir, they sing and stuff like that. But while they are doing all that, they commit fornication and adultery, and they are doing it perpetually. So it's not that they don't love God, because they love God, they spend time in his presence, but the fear and reverence has gone out through the window. And you see a lot of this in church these days, whereby people no longer fear God. Oh my goodness, am I speaking to somebody here? You see, a person that fears God will not knowingly or perpetually continue in fornication or adultery. Sometimes we think God doesn't kill anymore. You know, that we think that what happened in Ananias and Sapphira, that things like that don't happen anymore. I don't know how true this is, but I remember I heard a story some years ago. You know, I didn't see it. About, on a university campus. And there was this, they used to have a fellowship and things. Now, apparently, two of the people on the campus, you know, on the fellowship, they were sleeping with each other. So one day they were in the room, alone. Maybe they were up to certain things. So anyway, members of the fellowship, they heard them banging. So they started singing, "Let the fire of the Lord come down. Let the fire of the Lord come." And the fire of God truly came down. That when they opened the door, they found both of them dead. Like I said, I didn't see her head. But you see, they did not have the fear of God. They just did something and they were saying, "Fire of God, come down." You know, the fire comes to purify. The fire comes to judge. A person that fears God will not intentionally lie. You know, a person that fears God, one of the things I cannot stand about people, you know, are people that are two-faced. A person that fears God, if you don't like somebody, let them know. It is true. Don't pretend to like them, and then behind their back, you are... Let them know. You don't have to like everybody. Yeah, we are Christian, so you still work with them, but you don't necessarily have to like them. A person that fears God, because anytime you are backstabbing somebody, what are you? It means that you don't have the fear of God in you. I know that doesn't happen in this church. A person that fears God will not live a double life. You know, you sometimes, the other day, I heard about, I'm not judging, but I'm just saying what I heard. I heard about a certain man of God in the country where I come from, and this happened. He died. And when he died, I think he was pastoring a church in Lagos, also in the western part of Nigeria. And when he died, they found out that he had another wife in another city, in the north or somewhere like that. Now, to me, that's living a double life. Like I said, I'm just using it as an example. But somebody, and we can take examples from our lives. I'm sure that there are people seated here that live a double life. And you see, you cannot say you fear God and be living a double life. So in church, you are Deacon Deji. And then in the evening, you become Dirty Deji. Sorry, is there anybody called Deji here? I just picked the name. But one thing David did is he feared God. And you see, that's one of the things that made him a supernatural achiever. Because once you keep the reverence of God in your... You see, there's something about the fear of God that restrains you from doing certain things. When you fear God, there are certain things that other people may get away with, but because of your fear of God, you will not even try it. You know, I have nothing against worldly music. But you know, sometimes people, even after they've been Christians for quite a while, they still listen to Get Down on It, or Which One, or Tupac. Yes, sir? Which one is recent? Sorry, which one? Chris Brown. I think that's one. There's one, Chris Brown. I was watching the film and he knew all the. I said, that's Chris Brown. He's, I said, what's this guy been up to? I just didn't say anything on that day. I was going to tack him up later on. But in church, I didn't ask who. What was I saying? Song, yeah. You see, there's nothing against it. But you see, when you fear God, there are certain kinds of music that you don't listen to. Because you know it's going to mess you up. Well, at least me. And, you know, when you spend time in God's presence in the morning or during the day, and then in the evening you are listening to certain kinds of music that it just doesn't go together. Is this making sense?
Yes, sir.
Let me move on quickly. Let me move on. Third thing. We are talking about the profile of a supernatural achiever, and we are using the life of David. The third thing is that David not only loved God, not only feared God, but he regularly consulted God. He regularly consulted God on matters. One of the things I found out about David is that he was not presumptuous in his relationship with God. He regularly inquired from God to discover God's will before making a decision. You know, one of the things recently I was trying to make it certain decisions, and I was looking at the life of Jesus, and in Luke chapter 6, you know, he says something. He says that Jesus prayed all night, and it was after he prayed, he chose his disciples. You know, after he prayed all night. And it occurred to me that even Jesus spent quite some time consulting God before making a decision. Am I making sense?
Yes.
He was not presumptuous. He consulted God on a regular basis. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 7 to 8, excuse me, the Bible says that the Amalekites invaded their camp, the camp of David and his men. And they took captive the woman. And the Bible says that he inquired of the Lord and said, shall I pursue? Shall I overtake? You see, the natural tendency for most human beings that I would have done is if somebody takes my wife or my children, I would chase after them before even thinking. But the Bible says he inquired from God, shall I pursue, shall I overtake? And God said, yes, go, you will recover her, recover all. Another place in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 20 or thereabouts, it talks about when the Philistines attacked, when they were fighting with the Philistines, I think they attacked them. And it says that he inquired of the Lord, And God gave him a strategy so that by the time he implemented that strategy, the Bible says that he said that God has broken through my enemies and called that place Perazim. Listen to me. Why did he have those achievements in his life? Because he asked God and God gave him the strategy. You see, I personally, I believe that this is one of the secrets to him being a supernatural achiever. On various occasions, you find out that David asked, inquired from God, Lord, what would you have me do? Lord, shall I pursue? He inquired. He found out God's will, God's strategy before going on. In that 2 Samuel chapter 5, you know, I spoke about the Perazim issue. There was another, after that, the Philistines came back. This time around, he asked again, and God said he should ambush them or circle around them. Not the same strategy. But a lot of us, if something worked the first time, we don't stop to ask God. We say, since it worked the first time, it must continue working. So we try it a second time, and it may not work the second time. Or if it worked for somebody, the fact that it worked for a friend, we automatically assume that that's how God wants us to do it as well. Am I making sense? You see, if you want to be a supernatural achiever, when you inquire from God, you can be certain that once you get what he says you should do or the strategy, that there's no way you will not achieve or do great exploits. One thing, Moses, anytime Pharaoh said no, what did he do? He went back to God. And God said, go back and do this. When they got to the Red Sea, and the Bible says that the Egyptians were behind, the Red Sea was in front. The Bible says he cried out to God. And God said, he told him what to do. Stretch out your rod. He inquired from God. You know, when you take time to ask God about issues or things or decisions that you want to make without just assuming or being presumptuous, you will experience supernatural achievements in those areas. Amen. One of the things I have learned the hard way is never to take things on the face value. There are times when things seem to be straightforward. And you think it's a foregone conclusion. But what I find is that those are usually the time when it gets me into trouble. The straightforward ones that you think, hey, simple matter, this looks logical. Am I making sense? You know, one of the things that trips me most is when, you know, people that are single and Christians and they see each other and they like each other and they start going out. And then after they start going out, then they start thinking, oh, is it God's will? In fact, that's even if they think. If they think it, that is it God's will? But a lot of times, because they're already emotionally attached and far gone, even when God doesn't speak, they say, well, I have peace. You know, that peace thing. I don't know. The peace of God that passeth. I have that. So it must be the will of God. I always say that you hear what you want to hear in such a situation. Once you desire something so much, if I, you manufacture the scripture. You know, when you take a decision without asking God, it tends to be costly. Or it can be costly. David constantly consulted God. He constantly... You know, I was talking about the Luke chapter 6 when Jesus, you know, I said I was going to make a decision, make certain decisions. When I saw it, I said, okay, if Jesus prayed all night, let me to pray all night. You know, just to be certain that the action or the decisions that I want to make are in line, or those are the things that God wants, or how God wants me to do it, or what he wants us to do. Are you getting blessed? Number four. Number four, the profile of a supernatural achiever. Thank you. Number four, David embraced the challenges that came his way. You know, one of the things about David is he did not shy away from challenges. He embraced those challenges and recognized them as opportunities for promotion. He did not just see them as hindrances or as problems. He saw them as an opportunity for him to be built up further. You know, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, the Bible talks about the Israelites. That's when they were fighting the Philistines. And thank you. The devil is a liar. Even when I'm down, I will preach. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says that when the Israelites faced the Philistines, and Goliath would come and taunt them. Now, get this. The Bible makes us to understand that all the armies of Israel, they were trembling and afraid. Even the king was afraid. But David, a young lad, embraced, rose up to the challenge while the men ran back. You see, anytime you run away from a challenge, you will always face that same challenge again. Anytime you run away from a challenge that is meant to take you to your destiny, now it's not, let me clarify this. It's not all battles that you fight. So let me put that wherever. You need to choose the battles you fight. But there are certain battles that are before you that are key to you getting to your destiny. And if you run away or shy away from that challenge, then it will suppress you from achieving the things God wants you to achieve. You know, when David got to the battlefield, the Bible says that he volunteered to go and fight Goliath. He asked that, hey, what will they give the person that kills this man? So he saw the challenge as an opportunity for promotion. You know, one of the things I've found out is that anytime you overcome a challenge or a test or a trial, you are never the same way you were. Yes, sir. You would have developed either spiritually, depending on what challenge it is, spiritually or emotionally or in certain ways. But a lot of people look for the easy option. You know what I found out? That the easy option is the way everybody goes. That's why they say that maybe just 5% of the population are achievers. So that the other 95%, they all follow the easy option. That's why, if you look at the Bible, that first Samuel, all the armies of Israel, I don't know how many of them, they followed the easy option of running away from Goliath. But David embraced the challenge and he got what they did not get. He achieved what they did not achieve. The Bible does not even tell us the name of one of the armies in there. Whereas the Bible spent a whole chapter talking about how David killed Goliath. So this day, you know, in junior church and things, those are one of the first stories you learn when you're young. Supernatural achievers view obstacles as stepping stones to a higher level. They see challenges as objects that will lift them higher or build character in them. If you want to be a supernatural achiever, you want to embrace the challenges that come your way. Especially as if you know that it is critical, key, for you to overcome it in order to get to your destiny. One of the things that I found out is that the challenge that you do not overcome, even if you get where you're going, it will overcome you. That's why sin that is not dealt with tends to bring down people when they get to the top. Character issues that are not dealt with would normally bring down people when they get to the top. You know, we've heard of so many MPs that various things brought them down. I mean, let me use one that you probably read. Jeffrey Archer. Had a lot of potential. Lots of potential. I think he was planning to be maybe the mayor of London then, if I'm right. And he probably would have won. But he told a lie. I think it was a lie. His one was a lie or something like that. Sorry? Podry. He lied in court. So he told a lie. So that's a fancy name. Podry is lying in court under oath, but he told a lie. It was a lie that brought him from the top, and he ended up in jail. And he never really recovered from there. I can state so many others. But if he had dealt with that character flaw, you find that if he had faced the challenge and dealt with it at the time, then he probably would never have. You know, when you run from a challenge, a lot of people compromise. So a lot of times we compromise on certain things because we are running away from the challenge of facing the battle at that point in time. Or we are running away from the supposedly confrontation. And usually when you do that, you find out that you remain in the same spot or you decrease. Are you getting blessed? The last thing is the fact that David was committed to whatever he put his hands to. He was committed to whatever he put his hands to. You know, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, 1 Samuel 17, verses 34 to 35, the Bible says something. When he wanted to fight Goliath, and Saul was a bit scared for him, he said that your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it. And he said, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. Now, he was a shepherd, but he was committed to keeping the things that had been entrusted into his hands. He was committed to whatever he's putting his hands to. The fact that he went after the bear, after the lion, not thinking of his own safety, shows the commitment to keeping his father's flock. Listen to this. When David made a covenant with Jonathan, years after, he kept that commitment or that covenant because he was committed to the covenant he made. He went looking for Mephibosheth, saying that, is there anyone left from the house of Jonathan? And he went looking for the son and said, come and sit at my table and eat with me because of the covenant I made with your father. David, once he decided on something or he did something, he remained with it and was committed to it. You cannot achieve. You cannot be a supernatural achiever if you don't have a level of commitment in your life. You cannot be a supernatural achiever if you don't understand the concept of commitment. You cannot be a supernatural achiever or do supernatural exploits if you are not committed to the calling of God upon your life. Time will not permit me, so some other time I'll talk about what it means to be committed to the calling of God. You know, one of the things that amazes me a lot of times in Christianity is that, you know, I've had situations. People will come into the church. I believe God led me to this church. This is my church. You know, I'm committed to this, blah, 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 blah. 6 months later, you don't see them. Some years back, when we used to do workers training, you know, for the workers, we used to get them to sign a form and sign a commitment that I'm voluntarily going into this. I'm making a commitment and things like that. Even after explaining all that, usually once we finish first 3 months, by the time we go to 3 months, 6 months, we just have half of the people we started with, usually. What you find a lot of times these days is that people operate based on convenience, not commitment. A lot of people is now based on, get this, your commitment to the goals you set this year will determine whether you achieve them or not. So, for example, if you set a goal to learn to play golf, as an example, your commitment, whether it's cold or not, whether it's, you know, it's snowing or not, your commitment to going to practice or doing what you need to do will determine whether you achieve that goal. David was committed to whatever he put his hands to. Until you understand the true meaning of commitment, you cannot become a supernatural achiever. People that achieve, or supernatural achievers, you find out that they have a high level of commitment. In fact, in business, people that make money, people that are successful in business, usually are committed to the business they are into. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's rise up. This morning.